the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And happy Tuesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM and listening to the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God. And they've got these cameras up in the studio now. And one thing is for sure, I have a face for radio. and so we're very thankful that you have tuned in today to the Refresh Radio program, and pray that it will be a blessing to you. Right now, we're talking about living in the kingdom of truth. We are not supposed to be people who bear false witness against one another and all of that sort of stuff. I want to have the reputation that if I were to tell a lie, that there would be a neon sign flashing from the top of heaven down here and saying, he's lying, he's lying, he's lying. I want to be known as a person of truth, a messenger of truth. And so that is is what we're talking about. We started talking about yesterday that we're not supposed to deceive ourselves. And so we finished looking at that as or what are some of the strategies that the enemy employs that causes us to deceive ourselves. Now, mind you that when we are deceiving ourselves, it is not the devil lying to us. It is not a neighbor or another person that is lying to us. This is deception that we are bringing on ourselves. That's not what we want to experience. And so we were in Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 15 and 16. With yesterday's program, it says in verse number 15, "For indeed I will make you small among the nations." This was towards Edom. "Despised among men, your fierceness has deceived you, the pride of your heart. O you who dwell in the clefts of the rock, who hold the height of the hill, though you make your nest as high as the eagle, I will bring you down from there, says the Lord." And, you know, we live in a very comparative mindset most of the time. You know, football season is getting ready to start up, and my team's better than your team, or my school's better than your school, or my dad's better than your dad, and all of that sort of stuff. Your house is better than my house better, or my car is better than your car, all that. That's hopefully not true. Mine doesn't have air conditioning, so hopefully you have a car that has air conditioning. But we live in all of this comparative stuff where we are comparing ourselves by ourselves. And so Edom had this rather fierce, terrorizing mindset. I want you to know God's not a terrorist. He just flat out tells you the truth. And how we respond to that revelation of truth is up to us. It's strictly our responsibility. But we live in a day and time where terrorism takes place all the time. If you don't think the way that I want you to think, then I'm going to cut you off. If you don't act the way that I want you to act, then I'm going to cut you off. If you don't do what I say to do, then, you know, far be it from me to let that go unattended to. There is all sorts of terrorism that takes place, and I want you to know the kingdom of God is not like that. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of love. It's a kingdom of truth. Now, God tells you, here are the benefits of obedience. Here are the consequences of disobedience. The choice is yours. The devil will tell you about the benefits of disobedience, but he will not tell you about the consequences. So he doesn't give you full disclosure about that. So He says it's the fierceness of your heart, the fact that you cause people to quiver in fear whenever your presence comes about, that your military might, all of that. Edom, I believe, got in trouble because they were gloating over how Israel and Judah were treated. And Jeremiah comes along and says, your future does not look good. Your future does not look good. It says, your terror that you inspire others has deceived you. The pride of your heart has deceived you. And he goes on and he describes, he said, you who dwell in the clefts of the rock, who hold the height of the hill, though you make your nest as high as the eagle. And literally, that's what they did. They built their homes up to where a ladder couldn't reach them. You know, it was a very protected and very, very fortified place. The Bible is filled with people who thought that they lived in a position that they could not be overtaken. And yet, history proves time and time again that my, how the mighty can fall. And so we've got to guard ourselves because pride will blind us. How do I want to say it? I don't want to use the word blind. Pride will give us the inability to hear the loving correction that God wants to bring into our lives. We can't afford pride to reside in our hearts and in our lives. And God says, from there, though you dwell in as high as the eagle, God says this, I will bring you down from there. Even if we ascended above every other person, every man, every woman, if America ascended above every nation, and yet we had this horrific pride problem that left us unteachable, that left us looking with disdain at others around us, God said, no matter how high you go, I will bring you down from there. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. We can never afford to allow that sort of deception to take place where it's the condition of our own heart that deceives us. Now, in case that you thought that it just happened once, there's another little book called Obadiah, and Obadiah also wrote to Edom, and tell me if this message sounds familiar. Obadiah is one of the minor prophets. There's only one chapter, and that's verse 3 and 4. It says, the pride of your heart has deceived you, you who dwell in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high. You who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? Though you ascend as high as the eagle, and though you set your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, says the Lord. And so Obadiah fulfills that scripture that says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall a thing be established. And let me tell you that whenever God issues a decree like this, he always does it preemptively. Probably the greatest example of a person who was afflicted with pride was Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was known in his day and time as the King of Kings. Babylon had the Hanging Gardens of Babylon as one of the seven ancient wonders of the world. It was absolutely fascinating. The breadth of his kingdom was very, very enlarged. And so let me just read to you just a little bit. And here, what I want you to listen to as I read Daniel chapter 4 is I want you to hear the Holy Spirit speaking through Daniel as all of this transpires, okay? Daniel chapter 4. By the way, if you have positioned yourself where no one can speak into your life, you are in a very, very dangerous position. One of the things that I really enjoy is once or twice a month, I get together with a friend of mine and we discuss us. We discuss both of us are in the ministry. We discuss theology. We want to make sure that we are both living lives of integrity that we're supposed to be living. We want to make sure that neither one of us are falling into heresy or anything like that. It is one of the highlights of my week or of my month whenever I get to sit down and talk with my friend, because it's a reality check for me. I've got other people that I can go to and bounce things off. Nebuchadnezzar did not have people that he listened to. He was very authoritarian, and so whenever he made a decree, it was said. Here's Daniel chapter 4. Nebuchadnezzar the king, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I thought it good to declare the signs and wonders that the Most High God has worked for me. Now, what you are getting ready to hear in this story is a riches to rags to riches story. What Nebuchadnezzar writes here is he says, I want you to know God, the Most High God, has worked glorious signs and wonders in my life. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. That's the end of the story. Now, let's look at the beginning of the story. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts on my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore, I issued a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dream. Then the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers came in, and I told them the dream, but they did not make known to me its interpretation. But at last Daniel came before me. His name is Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God. In him is the spirit of the holy God. And I told the dream before him, saying, Belteshazzar, that's Daniel, chief of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy God is in you and no secret troubles you, explain to me the vision of my dreams that I have seen and its interpretation. These were the visions of my head while on my bed. I was looking, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew and became strong. Its height reached to the heavens, and it could be seen to the ends of the earth. I want you to see that some of the verbal descriptions here are very similar to what we had read about with Edom there. It could be seen to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were lovely, its fruit abundant, and in it was food for all. The beasts of the field found shade under it. The birds of the heavens dwelt in its branches, and all flesh was fed from it. I saw in the visions of my head while on my bed, and there was a holy one coming down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, chop down the tree and cut off its branches. Strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the beasts get out from under it and the birds from its branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump and roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze, in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beasts on the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from that of a man, and let him be given the heart of a beast, and let seven times pass over him. This decision is by the decree of the watchers, and the sentence by the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomever he will, and sets over it the lowest of men. And that's the end of the quote. Verse number 18. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, now Shazar, declare its interpretation, since all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known to me the interpretation, but you are able, for the spirit of the holy God is in you. I love Daniel. In another place, he's told that the spirit of excellence resides in him. And in this situation, the king looks to Daniel and he says, I know you can do what no other individual in my kingdom can do because the spirit of God dwells in you. Verse number 19, then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for a time and his thoughts troubled him. So the king spoke and said, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its interpretation trouble you. Belteshazzar answered and said, now I want you to hear God's message to the most proud individual on the planet. My Lord, may the dream concern those who hate you and its interpretation concern your enemies. The tree that you saw, which grew and became strong, whose height reached to the heavens and which could be seen by all the earth, whose leaves were lovely and its fruit abundant and which was food for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt and in whose branches the birds of the heaven had their home, it is you, O King. You have grown and become strong, for your greatness has grown and reaches to the heavens, and your dominion to the end of the earth. And inasmuch as the king saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, chop down the tree and destroy it, but leave its stump and roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field, let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beasts of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O King. And this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the King. They shall drive you from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. And inasmuch as they gave the command to leave the stump and roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be assured to you after you come to know that heaven rules. Therefore, O King, let my advice be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by being righteous, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. And so God gave him a vision, a dream. He asked for the explanation. He got the explanation. And Daniel said, there's still time. If you will repent, there is still time for change to take place in your life. God has given this message so that you and I can change our hearts. Don't deceive ourselves with pride. Listen, don't be so concerned with what people say about you. Be very concerned about what God has to say about you. Okay? All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar at the end of the 12 months. So there was another year. There was a year's worth of time between the dream and the fulfillment of the dream. How could that possibly happen? How could the person that has brought all of this glory to Babylon, how could the person that everybody in the earth was looking to and they were finding rest under his shelter, how could one so influential, so magnificent, how could he end up falling to the point where people are ushering him out to dwell with the beast? How could that happen? it seems completely and totally unrealistic. But at the end of the 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke. Listen to what he says. Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? Pride gets us full of ourselves. Humility restores us to a proper focus where we fill ourselves up with the goodness of God. Pride looks at our self-accomplishments. Humility says, apart from him, I can do nothing. Verse number 31. While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you. And they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. He has seen it in a dream. It has been explained to him by Daniel. There has been imploring for him to recognize the greatness of God and the goodness of God, and that God has positioned him for such a time as this. And he says, you are going to go through this until you come to that place where you are looking up to God and you know that it's him. Let me take you back to the first part of the chapter. I thought it good to declare the signs and wonders that the Most High God has worked for me. How great are his signs and how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion from generation to generation. Do you know one of the ways that we can realize how strong a grip pride has in our lives is how slow we are to make the transition. You know, Peter was a three type of guy. Most of the time he didn't get something until it had happened three times. Okay. Nebuchadnezzar lived outside of the reality of his mental capabilities that he had been birthed with for 7 years. Listen to what happens. That very hour, the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? Now, I want to tell you that one of the greatest inspirations to me about Nebuchadnezzar is that you can be the most proud person on planet Earth, and God in his mercy says, I want you, even though I'm going to cut him down, I'm going to pull him down like Edom from the very heights of where the eagles dwell, or the heights of the stars. I want you to build that protective band around the stump, because I'm going to cause the tree to grow again. Eventually, every person who is ruled by pride is humbled. It's humiliated. Well, let me put it this way. We either humble ourselves or we experience humiliation. Pride is one of Lucifer's great sins. I'm going to ascend up to the throne of God. I'm going to ascend. I'm going to be like the Most High. I. He is filled with himself. There's no repentance for him, but there is for us. And if you and I will humble ourselves, we will find that when we give glory to God, there's even greater possibilities that he can do for us. Verse number 36. At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me. I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth, and his ways are justice, and those who walk in pride, he is able to put down. We may not have the magnitude of influence that Nebuchadnezzar had, but we are just as susceptible to deceiving ourselves in pride as he was or as Edom was. We cannot afford pride living in our heart. I have this saying, God hates pride. He hates it outside of the church. I believe he hates it in government. We see that in Nebuchadnezzar. He hated it in Edom. He hates it inside the church. He hates it in me. He hates it in you. If there's any boasting, the boasting that needs to be done is boasting in the Lord. Apart from him, I can do nothing, but through him, we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. So we cannot afford pride living in our heart. It will rob us of the Daniels in our life speaking to us. It will rob us of the warnings, the still small voice that God will use to try and speak correction in our life. Listen, God's primary language is never a 2x4. It's always a still small voice, and he continues to speak and continue to speak, and finally he raises his voice and continues in his great love, not because he's mean, not because he's punitive, but because in his great love, he longs for each of us to experience the grace that he gives to the humble. Maybe you're phenomenal at business. Maybe you're, you know, tops in your academic class or tops in your field or the top salesman. I want to encourage you this. Give the glory to God. Let him keep you humble, because grace is way better than pride's going to treat us. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart bless your name, bless your name, Jesus. In the deeds of the day and the truth in my way, speak of you, Jesus. For this is what I'm glad to do. It's time to live a life of love that pleases you.